Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this is... No, it's my turn. This is the best animated shows ever. So far. Hi, buddy.
I totally couldn't remember whose turn it was.
I don't know if it's actually my turn. I just decided to stake a claim. Today we are wrapping up our conversation on Mob Psycho episode... No, wait. Mob Psycho 100 episode 3, which is called... An invite to a meeting. Simply put, I just want to be popular. Didn't we sing... It was last week that we talked... Yeah, it was. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
For everyone at home,
mm-hmm.
every time there's like a squiggly line, Troy does a little wavy arm dance, just to let you know.
Mm-hmm. I make my arms into the squiggles.
Tilde.
Yeah.
That's the name of the symbol.
I was like, what happened? You look so sad. You were just, that was just the thinking
phase. Yeah, that was my, I'm also still just getting over this cold, so.
That's fair. Before we get into the episode, I just want to do a quick behind the scenes thing. Because obviously we'll have to pick a new show at the end of this. So we'll have stuff to take up the time on the end. But what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the voice actors just a little bit because, man, talking about anime voice actors just makes me want to play video games because I looked up, the voice of Reagan, which is in the English dub, Chris Niosi, I'm going to go with. But he's in Battle Chef Brigade, which made me want to ask if you have played Battle Chef Brigade. Battle Chef Brigade.
No, I have not played that game at all. I have no idea what it is.
Oh my god. So, Battle Chef Brigade is a... Let's see. There are three layers to this game that I need to explain. So, first of all, it is an Iron Chef game where you... are competing against another chef in a cooking competition. Okay. That's layer one. Layer two is the way that you cook is by matching colored pieces together inside of your pot. Basically, it's a match three puzzle game where when you match like green pieces together, that adds some green flavors to your dish. And if you match blue flavors, it adds blue flavors to your dish.
Okay.
That's layer two. Layer three is, at the start of each round, you find out who you're going to be cooking for and what their particular tastes are, because each of the judges has different tastes. So this one might, you know, he really likes a spicy dish, so he wants a lot of red flavors in his dish. And then, before you start cooking, you run off the side of the screen, and you're in, like, a 2D, like, Ninja Gaiden, Castlevania-style map, and you have to go around and hunt monsters in order to get the ingredients that you will use to come back and cook the dish for him.
Sounds interesting.
It's really fun. I have not played nearly enough of it, but it's really fun. Then I went and looked up... Go ahead.
So, there is one show... We're going to go on about a whole bunch of anime and cartoons that come up. There's one called Food Wars.
Okay.
Shinonojuku? Juki? I can't pronounce it. It's Japanese. It's it's this show where essentially it's about a culinary school, but it's like... It's really weird. It's like the top chefs in all the world come out of this place and there's like 10 top seats in the school. Okay. And everyone's trying to compete to get to these top 10 seats. And one of the ways to do it is to challenge the person who's currently holding the seat.
okay.
into a cook-off.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And is it, like, all super anime? Like, the cook-off is animated like a fight?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
It's, but the best thing about it is the tasting, because it's kind of erotic at that point. Like, people's clothes burst off and stuff.
Oh, man. Have you seen... Oh, what's this called?
Troy looking something up.
It's on Netflix. So I'm going to go open Netflix. We're going to find out what this show's called. Oh, man, I can't find it.
You can't find it?
Ah! I found it. It is called Kantaro, the Sweet Tooth Salaryman.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. MC, it's this show about a guy who really wants to taste desserts. That's all he wants out of life, is he really wants to taste desserts. And... He just doesn't have the time to taste all the desserts. He lives in Tokyo. There's so many good places to get desserts in Tokyo, but he doesn't have time to go do them all. All he can do is he goes on his weekends, but that's not enough time. So he takes a job working at a book distributor as a door-to-door salesperson, because that way he can go do his book sales door-to-door missions, and then he does them fast so that he can stop off at a sweet shop nearby. And then it shows him getting his food. And it is, like, I would guess they're half-hour episodes. I've only watched the first episode. I would guess it's a half-hour episode where there's about 10 minutes of plot and about 20 minutes of, like, glory shots of sauce being poured on top of his ice cream or whatever. And close-up of him, like, eating it. And then sauce being dumped on him. And then, like, he sees personifications of the different elements of the food, which are, like, people in weird mascot costumes. It's the freakiest, weirdest thing ever. And it's fantastic. You should absolutely check out Kantaro the Sweet Tooth Salaryman. And here's the rub. It's live action. This is not an anime. It sounds like I'm describing some weird anime.
Oh,
but it's not. It's real.
Okay. I'll have to have a look. If we have that over here.
It's so weird. It's so
because
weird.
Our Netflixes are different.
That's true. That is true. Let's see. The voice actor for Mob is Kyle McCarley. He has done a bunch of anime, as is pretty typical when you find, you know, an anime show. Usually the voice actors stay in that realm. But he's also done some video games. On the anime side of things, the one that jumped out to me... Actually, there was two. Actually, there was three. First one is he was in the film of I Want to Eat Your Pancreas, which I haven't watched yet, but I've heard about because the Geek to Geek Media Network's Anime Club covered it. Apparently, it's not gross. It's like a romance story. It just happens to be called I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
Wow.
Okay, yeah.
That's super weird.
He's also in Devilman Crybaby. Which I've never seen.
I know that. You do not want to watch that.
That's the impression that I've had of that show, is that that's not a show for Troy.
That is definitely not a show for Troy. Please, someone submit it into the show.
And then the third was Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, which just popped out to me because, like, hey man, Mobile Suit Gundam. I, like, forgot about Mobile Suit Gundam. How did I forget about Mobile Suit Gundam? I don't know.
I mean, there's, like, 20 different ones, so which one are you forgetting about?
Whichever one was part of the Toonami block, and I don't know which it was, but...
I think it might have been X.
I don't know. I'd have to look at a list and then have no idea, because they're all, like... They have such samey names, but yeah. I remember really liking whichever one it was. On the video game side of things, we've got two video games I want to call out for Kyle McCarley. One is Nier Automata. Have you played that?
Have not played that one.
I haven't either. I'm kind of disappointed that neither of us have played it, because I've heard really, really good things about that game. But, yeah, I never got around to it. It's, like, about robots, and you have to play it over and over and over again, I guess, in order to, like, get different endings.
Okay.
Yeah. The other one is he is in Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido, which is a puzzle game that Nintendo put out for the 3DS and the Switch that takes place in a world where sushi has been lost, and the only people left who know of sushi are the Sushi Strikers, who use sushi to battle each other by matching up different plates of sushi. It's really fun. Don't make that face. It's a fun game.
It sounds like an everyday puzzle game, but the way that you're describing it sounds ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, it's a Nintendo-made game, so, like, it is basically an everyday puzzle game. Like, it's got, you know, a good basic puzzle game system, but then with, like, Nintendo shine on top of it.
Oh,
and
okay.
In this case, the Nintendo shine is, what if sushi for everything? Like, just everything sushi. And it's really okay. Fun. It's a good game. I would highly recommend you check it out, because it's a fun one. That's all I got for voice actors. It's tough with anime, because I know you watch it dubbed, so you're like, I don't
yeah,
even...
Yeah, no.
I don't even know.
I hear all the Japanese voices, but I have all the subtitles, so...
Uh-huh. Well, then let's get into episode 3, An Invite to a Meeting. Simply put, I just want to be popular.
So pretty much it opens up, and the Body Improvement Club is yelling, improve your body.
Improve your body!
Yeah, and go, 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 or something like that.
Mm.
As they're running.
And then there's Mob, like, a quarter mile behind the rest of them, like, dying. I feel such sympathy for Mob in this moment.
He pretty much faints because he's exhausted. Because he really doesn't use his body. In fact, that comes up after the opening credits. Mm-hmm. When he's talking with the telepathy club who have hauled up in the storeroom, essentially, with all the weights. Like, the Body Improvement Club's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can still use the room. We just need a place to store our weights.
Which is adorable.
Equipment. Yeah.
That made me so happy.
And they all bow to him, and he's like, oh, quit begging, or whatever. Quit bowing. And he's like, listen, he just fainted while we're out on a run. He just needs to rest up a little bit. Can you watch over him? And essentially, they leave him with the telepathy club, and he's like, yeah, I want to become more popular with girls, because I'm not big and strong. And I'm poor at running because I always use my psychic powers. And then the president of the telepathic club, Tomei, is like, oh, if you really have psychic powers, prove it. And he just floats mm-hmm. all the weights in the room around, and he's like, he grabs hold of one and then lets his psychic power go, and it just drops his hand straight to the ground. It's great.
I know. He like picks it up with his mind with no effort whatsoever, but then tries to actually hold one and is like, oh no, oh no, oh no, Mob. You should not be trying to hold a weight.
He is a spindly person.
He is very spindly. We find out here that the motivation for the leader of the telepathy club is she wants to learn telepathy in order to make contact with alien races, which is
that's
weird.
Perfectly fine with me. Like, it makes as much sense as anything else in this show.
I guess that's true. This is a weird show.
Yeah, it's a real weird show.
So, I feel like I missed something in the bulk of this episode, but I don't think I actually did. Because basically, it goes from there to he's walking home and runs into a lady in a terrifying mask, right?
I wouldn't say it's terrifying. It's weird, for sure. It's like a smiley face mask.
Terrifying.
But it's like an emoji smile face. And there's like no nose. And it's like flat and curved. And that there's like just a big smile, and it's kind of creepy. I will admit that, but
it's so scary.
It's not scary so much. It's creepy.
Okay. At this point, I suppose it's on the line of creepy, not scary. Yeah. And she's like, oh, you like a girl, huh? You just want to be popular, don't you? You should come with me.
No. She ran through, like, a whole bunch of stuff first. Like, there was, like, 7 other things she mentioned before love that he was having trouble in. And then when she mentioned love, he was like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe I'll come with you now.
How did you know?
Yeah. Well, she just ran through the other things that people might be upset about in their life, and she just finally landed on love. Oh, my God. Mob is so innocent.
He
up
is.
Up to a point.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But, yeah, he's just, you know, he takes everybody at their word, and he goes with her, because when strangers take you into elevators in strange buildings, you should absolutely go with them. And then they go down to the basement.
I just want to say, the best animated shows ever so far does not endorse all of Troidal Power's ideas and suggestions. Do not get into elevators with strange people in strange buildings. If they've kidnapped you pretty much off the streets, I suggest walking away from that person and not getting in that weird elevator in a strange building.
Especially if they're wearing a strange mask.
Oh, yeah.
And then the elevator doors open, and there's so many people in the masks. So many people.
There's a crowd of hundreds of people.
Okay, will you give it to me that when you see the crowd full of people wearing those masks, then they're terrifying?
Oh, it's not when you see the... it's when they all start laughing and they sway in, like, unison, but off sync, line to line. Yeah,
like
it's
it.
That. That's when it becomes terrifying.
Up
to that point, it's, like, kind of weird and creepy. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as they start laughing and swinging like that, I'm just like, nope, something's bad, wrong.
Yeah, it's creepy. And at this point, MC, we need to take a quick commercial break, because at this point, Funimation made me watch commercials. Crunchyroll, excuse me.
Wait, if it's going to be a break.
Ah, that was some good Foley work. That fake sound you made of a can opening. It is my mission to get you to do a spit take at some point on this show. That's what I want out of life.
You know what you went wrong with there?
Mm.
I'm drinking beer.
I know.
Yeah. Australians are going to spit out beer, no matter what. If I was to do a spit take, I would close my nose and swallow the damn thing before I spat it.
Go to waste.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So on the commercials this time around, we had the OK Movers. Do you guys get the Just OK commercials in Australia?
No.
It's like I don't know, a phone company maybe. But the commercials are like, she's like, oh, be careful, that was my grandmother's. And the Mover's like, don't worry, ma'am, your grandmother's delicate furniture is in OK hands. And she's like, just OK. And then it's like, because they're not very good, is the premise.
Okay.
And then they're like, you wouldn't settle for an okay moving company, so don't settle for an okay phone network. Get ours. It's reallygoodphonenetworks.com. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about, MC, is the allergy commercials that I got. Because I got a commercial where a woman is using a weed whacker in an overgrown garden, and then she sneezes and swings the weed whacker around like a maniac, and in the process, cuts off the head of a garden gnome. And it was really tragic, and I just want us to all take a moment of silence for the decapitated garden gnome.
I also want a moment of silence for all us hay fever sufferers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we've honored both the decapitated garden gnome and the hay fever sufferers. The next commercial I had was the same allergy brand, but this time in Spanish. And this time the commercial was, so in English, if you suffer from hay fever, you will decapitate garden gnomes. In Spanish, if you suffer from hay fever, you're just not very good at hide and seek.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, but that's targeted at a completely different audience.
He's a guy. He's trying to play hide and seek with his kid, and he like hides behind some curtains, which is a bad hiding place. People always do that, and it's never a good hiding place because the curtains are gonna have a big bulge in them. And then he sneezes, and his kid's like, "You dumb SOB, dad! I found you because your sneezes."
Do you know where the best place I've ever found to hide is?
Ooh, where is it?
It was in the towel cupboard.
Okay.
Behind the towels.
Nice. So if someone opened the cupboard, they wouldn't
see
you?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'm trying to remember where I hid when I was a kid. I think there was a one of the bedrooms in the house was like full of old coats. And I did kind of the same thing as the towel cupboard, where I figured out how to like get into the back of the closet behind the coats. And it was so densely packed that you couldn't like easily see through them. I think that's where I found the best hiding place.
Well, when we used to do it like in the neighborhood, because I grew up as a kid in the 90s and that was still acceptable.
Go to a stranger's house and hide.
Yeah, no. You do it in the whole neighborhood. Sort of thing. Like, I used to be the monkey kid.
Okay.
Yeah, I would climb up the tree as high as I could get, and then hide.
That makes sense. I don't know if that counts as hiding so much as just escaping.
Yeah, no, I'd be like the second last person ever found, because I would be like, he's up the tree again. Isn't he?
See, we know you're up there. We just can't get you. So back in Mob Psycho 100, the whole crowd of terrifying people in terrifying masks tosses Mob up onto the stage, along with
Wino and a student from, I don't think it's his class, but like
she
a
said
parallel class. Yeah.
Mazzotto is her name.
Yeah, she's in the same year as Mob.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they go to the same school.
And then the leader of the group comes out. Is his name Dimple? I think his name is Dimple. He comes
Dimple
out.
Dimple something. Demon.
Dimple Demon. He's the leader of this cult, which is a religious group that was established a month ago, and he has everybody take off their masks, and it turns out it was better when they had their masks on, because everybody's face is in like a rictus creepy grin, and it very much gave me Batman vibes of like when people get Joker-fied and they can't stop smiling.
Oh, yeah, the Joker gas. Oh, the laughing gas, yeah.
I did not like it. But he's going on about how, like, your hearts are imprisoned in your own body and you have to let the laughter in order to see the lighter side of things. Which, I mean, the non-extreme version of that philosophy, I think, is okay. That, like, you know, you got to learn to laugh at stuff. I think that's an okay philosophy, but he's taking it to a terrifying end.
There are laughing groups.
There's
groups that get together in, like, 20 or 30 people. And they just laugh uncontrollably. Like, they force themselves to laugh uncontrollably. I know it sounds weird, but they do it, like, once a week or something, and it just makes them feel better.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't think it's for me, but fair enough.
No, I think it's terrifying when you see a bunch of people, like, forcing laughter.
And that's his plan, is he's gonna force these three new people, Mob and Mazzotto and the Wino, to start laughing. But Mazzotto immediately, like, Mob is not.
Oh, Mob's he doesn't
like,
care.
Okay,
he
this
doesn't.
Is a little weird. And Mazzotto turns out she's like, I'm an undercover reporter for the school newspaper, and I'm here to bust this case wide. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love her. She's the best.
Yeah, and she's like, everyone's under, there's rumors of this being like a cult, we're under group hypnosis. Mm-hmm. What do you say to these accusations? And then he's like, what are you talking about? Just look at this old man and see his reaction to our, like, hood thing, our masks.
Yeah.
And when they pull the mask off this old wino dude, he's just laughing hysterically, and it's terrifying.
one of the other crowd members is like, I'm sure you'll find a job now. Because that's what it takes, apparently, is as soon as you start laughing like a maniac, it's really easy to find a job, I guess.
And then there's more argument, and someone sneaks up behind Mizaka and slips one of the hoods on her.
Uh-huh. And she tries to fight back against her. She's like, I don't want to lie to myself like this. And she tries and tries and tries, but she starts laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And Mob is like, okay, I'm going to go now.
Yeah, no, it's really weird because at first she smiles, and then he's like, the guy's trying to make her laugh, and Mob's just like, hey, this isn't working for me. I'm going to leave. She promised me that I'd become popular and I would get girls, and I don't think this is for me. And yeah. The guy's like, what? How is he resisting the mask?
Yeah. Ultimately, the leader, Dimple, he could just let Mob walk away here. If he just lets Mob walk away, he still has his creepy cult. But instead... Oh, yeah. Instead, he
tries to, like, get Mob to stay. And then when that doesn't work, he essentially challenges Mob to a laughing contest with a group of people who he's been forcing to laugh for, what, a month?
Or yeah.
However many weeks they've been in
the contest is to hold in a smile. The contest is to, like... Who can not smile the longest while holding milk in their mouth?
Yep.
Which is a weird contest. Mob is at 58%, we should say, at this point.
Oh, yeah.
His little
he emotion ticked meter.
So then, yeah, we just get this, like, montage of Mob, a mobtage, if you will, of Mob versus the Mob in a smile contest.
What one thing I got to bring up before we continue anything further is why Mob decided to take the contest. And that's because he loves milk.
Oh, right. Yeah, because the contest is to hold milk in your mouth, and Mob only took it because he likes milk so much.
Yeah.
If it had been to hold water in your mouth, he would have been like, no, that's fine, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, but because it's milk... He gets sprayed in the face so many times.
Yep. It's just, I think there's four or five different shots of people trying to make him laugh, and he just sits there looking all stoic, and then they laugh and spit milk all over him.
It's three. That was the challenge. Three people. But he literally, like, wipes off his face at the end of the three.
At that point... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, you cut out.
Yeah. It's like, after he wipes down his face... the leader comes out and challenges him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's...
Crunchyroll, at this point, says, hey, Troy, you remember how you're trying not to sneeze right now? Well, let me remind you about sneezing in both English and Spanish, because I got those same two commercials again.
I don't think it would be this brand.
I don't know what brand it was. I don't think it was that brand.
I'm holding Telefast, by the way.
I don't know. I didn't pay. Listen, my job on reporting back the commercials is not to provide free advertising for the companies whose commercials I'm reporting on. It's just to tell you what the dumb commercials are.
Okay. And the fact that they keep coming to you in Spanish, even though you don't speak Spanish.
I'm literally watching a Japanese show in English. Why would you give me Spanish commercials? So then the guy challenges Mob himself, and everyone's like, oh, the leader's going into the challenge. Oh my goodness. And he's like, I'm going to beat you, Mob, even if I have to cheat to do it.
And he does. And Mob spits it out because there's something clearly mixed in the milk.
You cheated, man. Yeah. And he's like, oh, look, he's laughing. And Mob's like, that wasn't laughter. And Mob, like, does a psychic explosion that breaks the hypnosis on everybody in the crowd.
Yeah, but it seems like he didn't mean to do it. It was just, like, something that happened because...
Right.
This weird thing happened. And then the leader, he's like, oh, crap, my hypnosis is broken. And he hits him with it all again.
Yeah, and he realizes, like, oh, Mob's got psychic powers. And then he also says that Mob is incapable of laughing, which...
Oh, yeah. There's this really upsetting scene where he pretty much says, hey, you're, I think it's like, you're incapable of any feeling because you can't relate to anyone.
Yeah. And we get this explained through, like, a series of flashbacks showing that, like, as Mob was a little kid and discovering his psychic powers, he didn't want to be different, basically. So he tried to, like, really carefully suppress and control his psychic powers. But in suppressing that part of himself, he also ended up suppressing his emotions. So, like, he's hanging out with other kids who are all laughing, and he, like, just was standing there because, like, he was suppressing everything about himself, not just his powers. And the whole time we're seeing this, we get Mob's percentage level ticking up. So it's like 74, 88, 92. And then it ticks up real fast from 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100.
I reckon the best thing during this whole montage and stuff is right in the middle. Dimple-san, he's like trying to hypnotize Mob with like excessive power, and he's like flashing this light hand in Mob's face, and it's just not affecting him whatsoever.
Oh yeah, like, he's like holding his hand, and it's like anime lines and dramatic music and stuff.
Oh, and there's laughter.
And then he like pulls his hand back and then does it again.
Yeah, and everyone in the crowd is laughing except for Mob.
Mm, yeah. It's creepy, man.
And then the leader pretty much is like, we can't let outsiders go. He must die.
Yeah, which is a bit of a twist for your cult to take.
Oh, yeah.
So Mob hits 100, which... This has been counting up for the past couple episodes. I did not expect it to get to 100 three episodes into a 13-episode series. I assumed that was going to be, like, the series arc.
No. So, at the end of this episode, it shows you what the series arc is actually about.
Oh?
Because it ticks back up.
Hmm, that's true.
Like, it hits zero, and it ticks back up again. So, it's like, oh, this isn't just going to happen once. This is going to happen multiple times.
Yeah.
Like,
and ultimately what it is that 100% is his rage. Like, he's pissed off. And when he's pissed off, he turns into, like, super...
It's not just pissed off. It's, like, all of his emotions that he's been bottling up. He bottles everything up. And that's really bad, people. And so he explodes, and a lot of the time when you explode like that, it's going to be anger or fear.
Yeah, not all of the 100% was anger, but anger is the one that bubbles over. I'm trying to come up with a portmanteau of Super Saiyan and Psychic, but I think we already did that on another episode of Mob Psycho 100. I think I've tried to do that same joke. So anyway, he get real mad. He's drawn completely differently. He's got like a cut freaking jaw once he goes all like rage monster.
Yeah, it's great. He gets like kind of handsome, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he becomes manlier when this anger side comes out. It's weird.
He's no longer a soft boy. He becomes all
sharp edges. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, when he's, like, normally he's, like, kind of round and he is, like, drawn softly and his eyes are kind of round at the same time. When he's he like hits 100, it becomes all angles and his eyes are sharp and they're like red and stuff, and it's so cool.
Dimple reveals himself to be a demon or whatever, and
a bad spirit.
Yeah, starts fighting Mob, and Mob's just like chopping his hands off like it's nothing. And then he grows out giant like lobster plant hands instead of regular hands, and Mob chops those off too.
At one point he does like this hyper beam or something, destructo beam out of it, like it's like this pure blue light that he blasts Mob with, and it doesn't affect Mob whatsoever, and it was like supposed to destroy him.
Yep, he just stands there like, what?
Yeah,
you got nothing. And then we cut to commercials. And, okay, here's my favorite one. Yeah, I love doing this to you. I love the face you make when I do that. The first commercial is for a car. And the commercial is about 20 seconds of black and white footage of this car. And then the end of the commercial is like, check out this car. And that was, like, the whole commercial. I was like, what? You didn't even... It wasn't even, like, showing the inside of the car or anything. It was just black and white footage of a car driving around. And then it was like, anyway, this is what that car is called. End of commercial. And I was like, oh. Oh, okay. That's fine, then.
Was it Jaguar?
I don't know. I told you. My job is not to provide free advertising for them.
No.
If they want us... If Jaguar wants us to advertise their car, they can contact us at basesfcast@gmail.com.
And they don't need it.
We will advertise Jaguars on the best animated shows ever so far.
they don't need it.
So the next commercial hit me in the feels, because it was about like how when you have your first kid, you're really particular about everything, and then when you have your second kid, you're like, I don't fucking care. and I'm gonna have my first kid, and so I found out that apparently I need to have babysitters that have PhDs is what this commercial told me I need to have with my first kid.
What?
Yeah, that's what this commercial is about. But then when you have your second kid, you can give your child to a babysitter with a nose ring, because that was like their shorthand for the irresponsible person. And I was like, hey, my buddy MC has a nose ring, and I would totally trust my first kid with my buddy MC.
I mean, I don't have a PhD, but I have friends who do.
And then the third commercial was that Spanish road trip commercial again, where it's people like driving through a desert or something. And I don't know what they're doing because the whole commercial's in Spanish.
Didn't you get that last episode?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the one before. Yeah. It's definitely come up before.
I'm telling you, Premium, I don't have to deal with any of this. That's why I'm always surprised by how many commercials there actually are on Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
Because I forgot, because I was running into the same problem back when I was getting into Attack on Titan Season 1.
Yeah.
And the only place I could find it was on Crunchyroll. So I was like, well, damn. And I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes with the ads, and I was like, I'm getting so annoyed.
Yeah.
Because, well, I was used to, like, Netflix and other, like, I watch YouTube, which has some ads, but they're like 30 seconds, and half of them you can skip after 5. So you get 5-second ads.
The thing that really ticks me off about Crunchyrolls, I'm gonna put you on blast, Crunchyroll, is this anime clearly has points in the show where they're supposed to cut to commercial. Like, I'll use Pokemon as the example, because we all remember, who's that Pokemon? And then when it comes back, it goes, it's Squirtle.
Okay, in the show, it's not so direct.
But there's definitely breaks.
Like, there's like a half a second black screen between scenes where you're like, oh, that's an ad break.
But and then it goes back to the show. The ads.
No, it doesn't ever. So
it
you
puts
always
them in the
get
middle of a scene.
Here's the best bit. You're supposed to do it in like that half second. So you get like a quarter of a second at the start of your ads where it's black, and then a quarter of the at the end. But what happens is Crunchyroll is like, nah, we've got it set up so it's like at intervals. that aren't where the ads are in the show. Because I think it's across the whole system. It's like, it's at this interval.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this many minutes. It's this interval into the show.
It really makes an unpleasant watching experience, though, because it means it's constantly breaking the flow of the show to tell me about freaking Spanish allergy medicine. So then Mob blows him up.
He utterly destroys, like, all the spirits that he's come up against so far.
Yeah.
He just... He doesn't even... this time he's, like, all glowy with energy and, like, really fierce and stuff. But he doesn't really seem to put an effort into dispelling these ghosts.
No.
So, essentially, after that, he goes back to Regan's office and he's, like, having a discussion.
Yeah, and it's... Regan's difficult for me because, like, the first episode, I was like, this guy's a tool bag. Like, he's just using Mob. Like, I hate him. But then he's kind of grown on me, but he's still a douche. He's just like...
Oh, he is a douche, but he's taking care of Mob, and he's helping Mob develop, and, like...
Kind of
he's
in spite of himself, like, accidentally.
Yeah, yeah, and what's great is he gives him the best advice in this scene. He's like, you got to be happy for you. You can't be happy for other people, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You can't let other people influence how you're supposed to feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, is what he's saying to this kid.
He reminds him, he says, you're the protagonist of your own story. Which I was like, yeah, Mob, like, get that into your head. Come on, just remember.
Yeah. Oh, the best bit is when, after, like, he's talked to Regan about the whole situation and stuff, and he's telling him the story. It does a cut back to, like, the cult room, mm-hmm. and everyone's coming out of, like, their days and stuff. And someone's like, who was that kid? He's the real messenger from God. Let's go follow him.
Yeah, that was intense. you've watched the rest of season one of this, right?
Yeah.
Does that come back up that cult is looking for Mob?
No.
Or is that just a throwaway joke?
I think that's a throwaway joke.
Because I could actually see that coming back, like, four episodes later and being, like, the plot for the rest of the series is that they, like, think he's the Messiah.
But yeah, Regan's like, you saved some people today, so... You should be happy about that. And don't worry about what people say. Just worry about what you feel and the actions you take with the power that you have. Like, but, and it's a great message. The problem is that he's trying to be like, hey, don't leave me. I need you to do work for me and stuff. Like,
right. That's the other side of that conversation. The perhaps less altruistic side of that conversation.
And then it cuts to him in his bedroom waking up the next morning.
Oh, right. And there's a ghost.
Yeah, it's the entity that he's supposed to be just dispelled, except for it's like a wisp of itself and it's like, hello. Good morning. Hey, we're going to be best friends sort of thing.
Yeah, that was weird. I did not even process that it was the same entity he had just dispelled. That makes it less random, but...
Only reason you know, he's got the face. The big smile. Because when Dimple had this spirit in him and when the spirit came out, it had this big, like, almost clown smile.
With Pikachu cheeks.
Yeah.
And that's where this episode ends. Just da-dun, the end.
Oh, well, it shows parts of the next episode, but we won't go into that today.
Yeah. I liked this show.
I like this show.
Been wondering where it's gonna end up on the list, though, because it's freaking weird. That's what I think I keep coming back to with Mob Psycho 100, is this show is weird. So right now, the big list has My Hero Academia. What?
I want to say one thing. It's still not as weird as Castlevania.
We'll talk about it. Hang on. The big list, top three are My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball, and Castlevania, then Miraculous, Dungeons & Dragons, SpongeBob, Biker Mice from Mars, and The Legend of Zelda. On the topic of it's not as weird as Castlevania, I feel like it is weird in a very similar way to Castlevania, where, like, this world is bonkers. And I don't feel like I fully know what the rules of this world are, even after three episodes. And that was kind of the reason I wanted to do three episodes of a show and not just one episode, is because I'm like, you know, the first couple episodes have to introduce you to the world. And so my thought was that by three episodes in, we'd have a pretty good grasp on things. And both of these last two, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm very confused.
What's really funny is... with the Castlevania one, is that first season's only four episodes long. And that's true. Only start to understand the world at the end of episode four of Castlevania.
I don't know, man. I watched the end of episode four of Castlevania, and I'm still confused about what the heck's going on in that show.
But you're starting to get, like, the understanding of the world.
That's true.
This show, I don't think you ever feel that way. Like... keeps happening around this kid, and you're like, how does this kid keep getting in the middle of it?
Well, and how common are these occurrences just in every day in this world? Like, is it just Mob that keeps getting into the middle of it? Or is it like everyone in this world is constantly dealing with ghosts? Because, like, the opening of the show, where Reagan's running, like, a paranormal, you know, exterminator agency... makes me feel like it's just a common occurrence. But then as it's gone on, I'm like, I don't think that's actually supposed to be the case. I think these are, like, rare occurrences. We just happen to be seeing a lot because we're hanging out with Mob. Which, if that's the case...
Well, we're hanging out with Mob and Reagan.
Right. And that makes it almost more weird to me how weird the world is. But in any case, I think it's in the top half of the list. If we put a line in the list right now, the line at the middle would be Miraculous on the top half and Dungeons and Dragons on the bottom half. And I think this definitely falls into the top half for me. If only because the animation on it is just awesome. It's got such a cool art style.
And it's so colorful and trippy at times. And it's just like, it's really fun as well. Like the concept of these psychics, essentially, taking on ghosts and, like, each other. Oh. I can't tell if it's above Cat Noir, but I'm pretty sure it's above Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, honestly, so, I'm kind of leaning towards right in the middle there. Because it's got kind of a similar, not tone, but structure to Cat Noir. Where, like, you know, it's there's a weird... there's something weird causing things, but you don't quite know what it is. And each episode is kind of an adventure of the week.
Yeah.
I think I might have liked Cat Noir better.
And see, I think I might like Mob Psycho a little bit better.
Yeah?
Yeah. But it's right there, sort of thing, right in the middle of our list.
Yeah. I don't have a very strong opinion one way or the other. They're about equal for me. So if you want to put it above Miraculous, I can deal with that.
I reckon... Nah, let's put it below.
Okay.
Just because I think... Cat Noir... like, Miraculous... The Ladybug and Cat Noir, it has wider appeal than this show would.
That's true. That's a very good point. So, coming in at the number four spot is Mob Psycho 100. And remember, the second season of this show is airing right now. So if you have enjoyed Mob Psycho 100, finish season one and start watching season two, because it's airing as we speak, which is kind of.
I have not watched it yet.
I haven't either. I think I might keep watching this one though. The hook of like what the heck is happening in the background.
Oh yeah,
is I think enough to get me to keep watching.
I thought this might be a show that you liked.
Yeah.
Which is why I put it on the list.
That's pretty good.
We've got had a list of like 15 shows that we began with, mm-hmm. and then we were like we opened it up to audience suggestion after that. So we haven't added to that list, I don't think, have we?
A couple things here and there.
Yeah, but yeah, but when I suggested this, it was a couple of weeks in, I think, and it just came to me. So I was like, hey, we should put this one in. And you were like, okay. And I thought this would be something weird, but something you might like.
Yeah, it's good. It's a touch too weird for me. I wish it was slightly less weird in plot, but I love the animation and how weird the animation is.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. It's less gruesome and like gut stuff. So I was like, oh, he'll like it because it's not so bleh.
Yeah, it even has though, the over-the-top animation without actually being like gruesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even like the icky monsters and stuff, they're like done in such a way that you're like, oh, it's kind of an art style as well. Like it doesn't feel like terrible when you look at it.
Yeah, that's very
and I
true.
Thought you'll enjoy that.
All right,
so
we've only got one thing left to do. We gotta pick another show to watch, which is gonna be our series 10. This is it.
Oh,
series
it
10
is.
What's it gonna be? I'm going to put on a recent submission, which is Star Blazers, which was recommended by Rob from the Taveren podcast. I have no idea what Star Blazers is. It's just that's a very good title.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Dragon Ball Z, submitted by Thomas.
Dragon Ball Z.
Because I'm like, ooh, it's been long enough since we did Dragon Ball.
Yeah. We could Dragon Ball Z would be a pretty good one to do for Series 10, too.
Yeah. Especially since it is one of the few shows that I do like to watch dubbed rather than subtitled.
That's true. In the vein of trying to have a good one for Series 10, I'm going to put on Batman, the animated series.
You know what? I'm going to do something that I quite like that's a little bit offbeat. Samurai Jack.
All right. Samurai Jack. So, for Series 10, we're either going to be watching Star Blazers, Dragon Ball Z, Batman the Animated Series, or Samurai Jack. We got three heavy hitters in there, and then Star Blazers, which I have no idea what it is. So, this will be interesting. And you know what? I've actually got a D4.
Oh, you got a D4.
Yeah. Look at me. I am the captain now.
I was going to roll it in our silly Discord chat.
It's a 3, MC.
It's a 3?
It's a 3. We're going to watch Batman the Animated Series.
Nice.
I'm so excited. I love Batman the Animated Series. I know usually at the end of this, we're like, see, you know what I think about this show, MC? Do you know what I think about Batman the Animated Series, MC?
It's great.
Uh-huh.
And everyone loves it.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember what the first three episodes are about.
The first episode is the one with Man-Bat, I believe. Oh, it depends.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I think there's a production order versus release order, so let me just pull up a list of Batman episodes, and
see,
we'll figure out which we're going to watch.
We can actually do this off-air, but yes, we should work out which order we do watch them in, so we both have the same notes.
I think... Oh, nope, there is no difference, so...
Okay, that's good.
Yep, so episode one, oh man, I'm excited. Next week, the best animated shows ever so far will be back. with Batman the Animated Series, Episode 1, On Leather Wings.
We get to do a lot of Batman voices next week, MC.
Oh, this is bad. This would have been better last week, when I was still sick.
Yeah, that would have worked well for that. Wait, yes. Can you do an Alfred?
No. No, he's way too posh for me to do. I am very much a bogan.
I remember you telling me that term before. Let me look it up on the back computer. Ah, yes. I remember. But not well enough to say it here.
That was dumb.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.